It's now time for a remarkable conversation. We're about to cross to Patina Timon, who is a multi-award-winning entrepreneur, businesswoman, and author. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. You're on What a Wonderful World. Well, that beautiful track, I haven't played that in some time. That was the Dear Dear Life from Cindy Van Der Ree. Oh, just love that track. And I thought it was a really nice way to introduce our next very special guest for a remarkable conversation. Yes, indeed, it is time for a remarkable conversation with a very remarkable person. And we're so delighted and honoured to be speaking with our guest today, renowned Indigenous business specialist, small business growth expert and author, Patina Timon, one of Australia's most awarded businesswomen, actually, who has garnered more than 25 state, national and global awards. I'm not sure how she fits all of those on the mantelpiece. However, with a background that was fraught with so many challenges, Patina was raised ignorant of her Aboriginal heritage until she was 35 years old, and she is now a beacon of hope who is empowering hundreds of disadvantaged people to grow their businesses. She works with approximately 300 clients per year on an individual basis, with 80% of the clients being women and 45 to 60% of those being Indigenous women from remote, rural and regional areas in Northern Australia and in PNG as well. So let's jump into this remarkable conversation. Thank you so much for joining us today on What a Wonderful World, Patina. How are you, and what wonderful things have been happening in your world today?
Hey there, Rianne. Thanks for the opportunity. Look, today I've done many things. I did a 4K walk this morning. Then I went off and had some business meetings. I had an interview on a TV channel. Now I'm sitting at Bergen Airport. Apologies if you can hear the announcement.
Yes.
And now I'm talking to you.
Well, there
you
go.
My day gets better.
And thanks. And you're on the line also with my co-host, Rary, who's here in the studio with us today as well. So,
Hi, Patina.
So you were recently in London, where you launched your second women's empowerment and leadership book titled Women Leading the Way, which you actually co-authored with other influential figures. So who are your co-authors, and what are the key messages that readers will take away from this book?
So there were more than 20 co-authors from around the world. And basically, the women all had a personal story that they were able to use as the catalyst and driver to move them forward to where they are today in business. We had some amazing people like Fiona Holstrom of Stempunks doing amazing things with kids in schools. We've got Lisa Walker, who owns a healthcare and nursing agency, phenomenal work in Victoria. Julie Oakley, another Indigenous woman, doing great things in the fashion and publication sector. Meeting Nataraja, who was a lawyer and coach. Basically we've all experienced some really difficult hardships, whether it's abuse, domestic violence, control and coercive behaviour, or various other things, cancers and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it was a great way for us to be able to share our story and help other women.
Absolutely love it. Sounds like a fabulous read.
Yes. As a part of this trip to Europe, you also were a keynote speaker at the Female Founders Trade Mission Global Summits in London and Paris. What were the positive outcomes and key action points of these summits?
Sure. So there was a Female Founders Summit in London, and then there was a Venture Capital Summit in Paris. Mm-hmm. As a Female Founders event in London, I spoke about Indigenous business in Northern Australia and Papua New Guinea, and that was really fantastic to be able to share my expertise to other people on a global scale around the challenges, the struggles Indigenous people face in remote and regional areas of Australia and Papua New Guinea, and then the different strategies and solutions that we use in our business to help people overcome those, which the people on the international level were then able to, change the support methods that they can use within their own countries. Mm-hmm. And then the Venture Capital Summit, I was actually talking about the lack of investment in regional, rural and remote areas of Australia. Mm-hmm. So that was really good to speak to a room full of international investors and explain to them some of the barriers and challenges that startups and entrepreneurs face in Australia with securing investment.
Oh, that's great. So hopefully there was some good interest there in sort of maybe changing the landscape around that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we were aiming for, is to really just create the awareness there.
Absolutely. Now, the Women Changing the World Awards were also being held in London at the same time, and you brought Home Global Awards for First Nations Leadership, Regional Impact and Entrepreneur of the Year. Entrepreneur of the Year. Congratulations. Very well deserved awards. Here's a round of applause.
Yeah.
There you go. Now, you undoubtedly met a lot of very interesting people at these awards, one of whom was actually Sarah, Duchess of York, fondly referred to as Fergie, of course, and she also received an award that night. So what can you tell us about your meeting with the Duchess?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Duchess was there in the awards. Obviously, she received an award, but the publisher of Fergie's children's books was the same publisher used for Women Leading the Way.
Uh-huh.
And so it was absolutely fantastic that, you know, because the Duchess was there, we were able to make the most of the opportunity and get some photos taken. And, you know, for me, it was phenomenal because Fergie is actually a really down-to-earth, cheeky, witty person. And so meeting somebody of royalty was never on my bucket list. I never thought it possible. But, you know, not only did I meet her, she actually then used the photograph of me with her and Dr. Caroline Trent in her own social media post. So that was phenomenal.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Yes, well, if anyone's seen our post today, there's a great photo of you there with the Duchess holding your book. So very, very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it wasn't on my bucket list. It was never something that I thought possible. And, you know, just hoping that Fergie meeting an Australian Indigenous person during our trip over there has helped to break down some of the barriers where, you know, royals have previously dispossessed, you know, First Nations people or, you know, there's always some stuff around that. And, you know, I just hope to create some awareness and make some change.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's brilliant. So overall, every moment and every day of we actually are making choices, whether we know that it's both consciously and subconsciously. So every challenge can be either seen as a stumbling block or a stepping stone in life. It's all just a matter of perspective, really. So what we really love about your personal story is that the many stumbling blocks that were scattered throughout your childhood and early adulthood, you've turned into stepping stones that have also led you to being a trailblazer for other women to turn their own adversities and tragedies into triumph. So what advice would you like to offer women who may currently be experiencing severe challenges in their lives to really speed up their self-healing so that they can get their life back on track and make their life shine and count as you have?
Yeah, well, absolutely. As you said, everything's a choice, right? So even though we might be feeling like we're forced or under pressure, you know, in certain circumstances and we're quite victimised, we have a choice whether we continue to put up with that situation, whether we start sharing that with somebody else that we can trust.
Mm.
And if we can't, you know, perhaps we can start writing journals and writing, you know, things down to, because once we start writing and once we start sharing it with others, we reduce that entrapment that we feel as a victim of abuse and adversity and domestic violence and things.
Mm.
And so that's the very first step, is just, you know, start getting it out of your own head, you know, mm-hmm. instead of just pulling it all up and trapping, talk to other people mm-hmm. and, you know, realize that you do have a choice. There is help available out there.
Mm-hmm.
It is just a case of researching. You know, mm-hmm. Google's our best friend these days. You can research. There are so many different support services. There are so many different people outside of your immediate family and friends
mm-hmm.
who are non-judgmental and able to provide different range of services. But for me, I was abandoned at 15, had to fumble through my adult life, you know, on my own without family support and network. So I invested time into self-help and development, you know, self-healing, sorry, and personal development through studying and meeting the world leaders in personal and professional development, spiritual healing, etc.
Mm.
So I studied, you know, I got counseling, I got life coaching, and then I studied it and I learned how to become one myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that I could mix that along with my life experiences and use those to then help others in the journey that they're suffering.
Mm. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, very powerful.
That's true. So throughout your journey, your mantra has been to find the positive and the learnings from every negative or toxic situations, and using those experiences to fuel aspirations, inspire others, and work towards goals and dreams. This is really very powerful.
Yeah, yes.
So could you please share how you do that and what empowering processes have helped you to get where you are today?
Again, we have a choice. We have a choice to either go, there's a negative or toxic situation, I'm going to bury myself in it, I'm going to wallow in it. But then we find that we don't progress, we don't move. And woe is us, we end up getting chronic health issues, we put on weight, we become depressed and miserable, we impact all the people around us. Or we can say, okay, well, from this situation, what is the universe, what is spirit, what are our ancestors, or what is the message in behind this?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this keep occurring? And analyze it, but figure out the why. Why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
And what can you do about it? And again, I do a lot of research on Google and, to better understand my behaviors, my moods, my personalities, my triggers, that of my husband, my daughters, and all the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you start that, personal development journey and analyzing and understanding the whys and the triggers, we can then learn how to develop coping mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always going to be triggers that come up.
Yeah.
There's always going to be something in our future that will bring us back to being a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not unless you learn good coping mechanisms that you can then pass that and go, well, when a trigger happens, I know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, how to deal with it is, I'm going to use that and I'm going to share that to help so many other people.
Mm-hmm.
There's been so many experiences that I've endured. I've had my major spine surgery, I've been bankrupt, I've lost everything, I've been sexually abused and raped, and, I can't find the positives in those experiences, but I can find the learning from them and say, this is what I'm going to do to prevent anything happening to myself in the future or my family and friends in the future, because I'm going to create the awareness and the education around it.
Yeah, exactly. So those, no matter how challenging or tragic these experiences are, there's not to say that anything's really good about that. It's what you can do with it, how you can turn that and fuel change through those experiences. And in particular, as you're doing, I was just going to say, as particularly as you're doing, to actually use those experiences and then to then go on and assist others as well.
Yeah, there's a very deep message there.
We often can't change or fix what's happened in the past, and we certainly can't change other people. So all we can do is change ourselves and the environment that's surrounding us and make sure that we're going to learn from it and change it.
Yeah.
And the only people that have the power to change it is ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. So there's so many dimensions around the issues of domestic abuse, and there's a cultural aspect to any situation which has more historical origin and takes its own time to evolve. And then most importantly within us, as the fear of influence, is the social aspect of situations or abuse, which is something that we can influence within our generation due to the advantage of connectivity that the current times have. What do you think are the social markers and like the thought systems that need to change to assist women with their healing when they are wanting to get their life back on track after facing abuse?
Sure. So I'm a qualified life coach and counselor as well as business mentor, but I really struggle with the concept of counseling in many instances, because for many people, counseling brings people back to the past, brings back to what's happened, that's put you into a negative space and a depressed space. What many people need is not to be brought back into delving or into the negative and toxic stuff. They need to actually have a strategy and a focus to move forward. So
that's
where a lot of the women get stuck, but they don't know the how to.
Yeah.
How do I pack the children up and get out of this house?
Yeah.
How do I financially afford to pay for rent or pay for classic housing and food and all of those sorts of things.
Hmm.
You know, how do I go to the police? You know, it's not easy to go to the police and make a statement, you know, because of the fear around that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there, it's very much about the how-to.
Yes.
And then also, I know certainly in our area in North Queensland, the crisis services are maxed out. They're at capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's actually a 3 to 6 month wait in a lot of instances for women in these situations to be able to be assisted. So they often can't wait during that time.
Yeah.
And then they're you know, unfortunately subjecting themselves and the children to being, you know, living in women shelter and things like that.
Mm.
So it is very much about the how to, you know,
yes.
let's look at some life coaching, let's look at some steps, let's look at how you can make a little micro business for yourself to start earning some money because you're not in the right headspace to go out and get employment.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you've got to talk to counsellors and schools and courts and family lawyers and all those sorts of mechanisms.
Mm-hmm. So actually on that note, just to wrap up, can you tell us about how you are assisting Indigenous women to become entrepreneurs, to start their own micro businesses, to, you know, what are the steps that you're assisting them with in creating their own life changes?
Thank you. So, look, I absolutely love what I do. It's amazing. I get to work with women in really remote locations, isolated areas, who there aren't any jobs. They're undertaking employability skills training, but there's no jobs available. So I actually say, okay, well, what are you good at? Or what do you want to do? You know, whether it's basket weaving or making merry blouses or solar arrangements. And then I work with them within the cultural practices, within their family commitments, et cetera, and say, okay, well, let's figure out how you can go about selling the baskets that you make.
Mm-hmm.
And so we work one-on-one on a fortnightly basis, mentoring that woman on her individual situation, and we do timetables, we do pricing, we help her understand how to find customers outside of her immediate remote area, how to talk to those customers, then we build little e-commerce websites and teach her how to self-manage. So one of the women, I was like a proud mother the other day, I saw on Facebook one of our past clients up at Darnley Island in the middle of the Torres Strait is actually now under her house. Got a row of sewing machines with 8 or 9 sewing machines, and the women from her village are all coming in and making clothes that they're now selling online.
That's brilliant.
Because they're replicating the skills and knowledge that we taught so years ago.
Absolutely brilliant. I just love that. That is, it's so wonderful.
We've done that in the Papua New Guinea as well, which is just amazing to see the changes.
Absolutely wonderful. So, Patina, thank you so much for joining us for this remarkable conversation. Where can people find out more? How can they support what you're doing? Obviously, read the book is a great thing for themselves, but how, you know, you're doing so many things for so many people. Is there a way that other people can assist you in what you're doing in Indigenous areas? What's the best way for everyone to get involved?
Sure. So either people can contact me on Facebook or LinkedIn or my website. Just looking at Patina Tiemann, PETINA TIEMAN. Or they can also search Australian Women in Business, which is a company of 2,200 women members around the country that I'm providing business support and coaching to.
Fantastic. Well, we applaud you for everything that you're doing and the impact, the positive impact that you're making in so many women's lives. I mean, both men and women, but particularly, obviously, because you work with couples as well. We didn't get a chance to mention that. But, you know, what you're doing is a catalyst there for women to be able to emancipate themselves in their own community and changing their life is just so, so important.
Yes.
And we really do applaud you for everything that you're achieving. No wonder you've got so many of those awards on your mantelpiece.
Well, actually, it's just
climbed
to 29 awards
later. 29? Oh, sorry, we just have to update. Okay, 29. Okay. Who's counting? Absolutely. Absolutely delightful to speak with you today.
Sure.
And thank you so much for making the time in your busy schedule there at the airport while you're flying between here and there and everywhere. Where are you off to? Right now, where's your next destination?
I'm back home in Cairns tonight, and then I'm off to Melbourne on Sunday. So I do travel the country.
You do?
And, yeah, 5 days a fortnight, I'm actually based in southeast Queensland.
Well, do bring a warm jacket down here. It's been a sunny day, but it's actually mighty cold if you're coming down from Queensland.
Oh, thanks for the warning.
Absolutely.
Thanks, ladies.
Delightful to speak to you.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for your time. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, that was a remarkable conversation with Bettina Thiemann, and just absolutely love what she's doing.
Yes,
so amazing.
So amazing, yes. Changing lives.
Absolutely changing lives.
Back on track.
Yeah, and that exactly so.
Yes.
Brilliant. All right, so we're heading towards the end of the show.